Brady Sprinter here with the High School Football Podcast, previewing the Coastal League. We're joined by Jason Patterson of Orange Glen, the head coach at Orange Glen, going into his sixth season coaching the Patriots up there in Escondido. So, Coach Patterson, thanks for joining me today. How you doing?
Doing really well. Thank you for the invitation here.
Absolutely. And you guys had a nice season last year. You made it all the way to the state championship game. You know, lost to San Francisco Lincoln in the finals, but a 10-5 season for Orange Glen, who, as of, you know, a recent history, had not been, you know, having that many great seasons. What was last season like for you coaching your son Cale and having a great year and taking Orange Glen to a state championship game?
It's fantastic. Our record, we were actually 10-4. It was an amazing season, and you know, having Cale on the team was great, but it was so much more. We just had a great group of seniors. We had a great underclass, a lot of juniors and sophomores starting for us. So as the season continued, we just kept getting better. The guys were gelling, they were playing hard. It was a really great team environment, and you know, as coaches, we just talked like this is a really fun team to coach, and we just continue to get better, and it was just fun to be a part of it.
And you got to try to build on that. You know, of course, this year you got your starting quarterback coming back, your running backs coming back, top receiver, top O-line, linemen, top defenders coming back. Got about 9 guys coming back for your team this year. What are you looking? What's your excitement level going into this season, knowing that you got a lot of big key players coming back this year that were on the state championship, you know, run team last year?
You know, we're very excited about that because last year everything was kind of new. We had struggled the season before that, and so the winning was something we were kind of taking in stride and just kind of getting better. But this whole off season, we could refer back. We understood what winning is. We're trying to make it a culture around here. We focus a lot on the habits that we're doing, you know, being on time, putting a lot of work in the weight room, leadership. So our expectations are kind of through the roof. We talk about them all the time in the off season and currently the last 2 weeks, you know, once we've been started. So we have really high expectations. We kind of keep that in-house, what we're going after. But we've added some new schools on our schedule, and we're just we're really, really excited. Our depth is not great, so We were very blessed last year to not have a whole lot of injuries, and we're hoping to do the same thing. And I just think we're shooting for the moon. Why wouldn't we?
Well, you're shooting for the moon. You're also shooting for Hawaii. Your first game open against Waimea out in Hawaii. How did that trip come about? What was the planning that had to go involved for taking your boys over to Hawaii? And you know, did you talk to a lot of other coaches that have been to Hawaii? It seems like a fun trip. I know you guys are probably excited for it.
You know, we're really excited. This will be my 5th time being part of a high school football team going to Hawaii. My previous 4 times, I'd always been an assistant with Rob Gilster, and it was one of the, you know, great memories, and it's a great time to come together as a coaching staff and kids. And so a lot of people said that we couldn't do it sometimes with our socioeconomic background. And I was talking to kids. They said they wanted to make it a goal, and we kind of went out and wanted to prove a lot of people wrong that we could set any goal we want to and accomplish it. And that's what we took from the state championship game. And we'd honestly talked about that the year prior. And when it became a reality, our kids started thinking bigger, setting higher goals. So, yeah, we're when it's all said and done, which we're here in the last final days, we'll have raised, you know, close to $65,000. I don't think anybody thought that was possible, and that's why we did it. You know, we wanted our kids to really believe you got to think big to do great things. So that was a big reason going into it. And now that we've kind of done the fundraising side, we're going to go enjoy it. We've been touching base with the Hawaii staff over there, really solid guys. We actually played this YMA team when I was up in Valley Center, I don't know, you know, 10, 12 years ago or something. So, It's we're very excited to kind of go up there and represent San Diego County, represent California, and all that good stuff.
Well, you guys got Escondido coming up right after that. Of course, San Pasqual. You got to play the two rivals in Escondido. You also got San Diego High. It's a pretty good non-conference schedule. It's going to be tough for you guys potentially because of the size San Pasqual has usually, and of course San Diego High, just like you guys, making it all the way to a state championship game. What went into scheduling San Diego High, and what does your team have to do in order to maybe be the top team in Escondido this year?
We kind of, the old cliche, we take it game by game, but we were really excited to add the extra Escondido schools. It's a good rivalry. There's a lot of dislike between the schools, which I actually enjoy. I think it's good for high school sports to have real rivalries as long as it's, healthy and competitive. We bring really good crowds when we play, the city games. And, we've also had a really good rivalry with Costco Academy, who's done great the last couple of years. So we're excited to add those. We've had San Pasqual since I've been head coach, and now to get Escondido back on. But we focus more on, there's a lot of outside talk that we don't get caught up in. We just want to play the game and play for the city championship. And at the end of the year, somebody's going to be the city champs, and we're working to hopefully make it us. The San Diego game kind of happened when we were at the state coaches meeting. I was talking to the San Diego coach, and we have a lot of similarities. 5-6 years ago, San Diego was struggling. He has done a phenomenal job. I really, really respect what he's done down there. And I feel we're kind of following the same footsteps, just, being successful. Kind of we're hoping to, be successful multiple years. And we were talking, and I think the last I heard, San Diego's 8th in the county, which is phenomenal. And we're just, we're excited to play them. They're going to be extremely talented. And I think it's going to be a great measuring stick for us. So, it's just exciting. I really am amazed at what he's done down there. It's been phenomenal, and we're hoping to just kind of continue our stuff, and that's how it came to be.
Talking with Coach Jason Patterson of Orange Glen. Coach, the last thing I'm going to leave you with here on the podcast, of course, is I love giving shout-outs to kids and, giving them an opportunity to, get their name out there. Who are some of the impact players that San Diego might not know about that Orange Glen has that's going to be an impact and the reason you guys are going to have a successful season?
Yeah, a couple of guys that the names probably aren't very consistent. We had two transfers. They were with us as freshmen. They moved around. They're back. So, DJ Harris and Devontae Wheeler, another top defensive lineman. He was a sophomore last year. Damian Ganey, really, really talented. One of the best offensive linemen, I think. He was a sophomore last year, started every game. Rudy Bay, another team captain. We have Danny Luna, another guy you've probably heard of, that, but he's not quite as much as Dylan Ewing Villalobos. He's going to be a returning second team all league safety. So we have a couple, main guys, like you said, our returning running back, our linebacker, our quarterback that have gotten a lot of press, but we have a lot of guys who are very team oriented. It's about what we can do as a team, not about individual efforts. So we have a lot of guys, and Kieran Villalobos, Mason Boulay, Jose Rivera, a lot of solid kids that we're really proud that they're part of our Orange Glen program.
We're excited to be covering Orange Glen for the whole rest of the season. I'm sure we'll get you on our high school football show with Coach Quintero on Thursday night. Of course, anybody listening want to listen to that, it's from 9 to 11 on 97.3 The Fan. Coach Patterson, thanks again for joining me today, and good luck this season.
Thank you. Appreciate everything you do for high school sports, and it is really our pleasure that you're including Orange Glen. Thank you very much.
Brayden Sprinter back here, high school football podcasting, breaking down each and every league here in San Diego high school football. We're now on to the Coastal League. We're starting off with the Coastal League with John Maffey of the Union Tribune. John, again, thanks for joining us.
Good, thank you.
All right, let's get to it. Let's go to the Coastal League. Bishops, Classical Academy, Tri-City Christian, Orange Glen, and Santa Fe Christian is, in fact, that league. What school jumps out to you the most when breaking down this league?
Well, honestly, this is a pretty balanced league, but the one school that jumps out to me is Orange Glen. Yeah, they're they won the D5 title last year. They won the Southern Cal title, and they have a ton of kids back. And I think they have a chance to win this league and move up to D4 and do some damage.
They're a team that jumps out to me as well. Another team is Bishop's. You know, they lost their quarterback junior season last year, yes. Like first play of the game. He has a knee injury against Grossmont. He is back this year. He is a highly recruited quarterback that's going to be someone to be reckoned with for sure for the Bishop's Knights. So I'm curious to see his bounce back season for Bishop's as they get ready for the season. Those are the two teams that kind of stick out to me the most, Orange Glen and Bishop's. Let's get to it. Let's start with Bishop's. We go in alphabetical order. This is a team that went 5-5 last year, but just by the fact of their quarterback coming back, I think it's good enough to make them an 8-2 team. Yeah, I'm throwing them out there at 8-2, but you know, they beat Orange Glen last year without their quarterback. They beat Mater Dei. They beat Classical Academy. They had losses to Monta Vista, Vista, and Grossmont. Monta Vista, of course, is a big-time team with the running back they had last year, who's now at UCLA. But we go through the schedule. La Jolla at UC, Mater Dei, Rosamond is a team out of town, Francis Parker at Orange Glen, La Jolla Country Day, Tri-City Christian at Classical Academy, and, of course, Santa Fe Christian kind of runs it up for Bishop's. But this is a team I think they're going 8-2. I think they're getting a good quarterback play back, and I think it's going to be them and Orange Glen battling for a league title.
I agree, and I think the quarterback, Tyler Buckner, is already committed to Notre Dame, and he barely threw a pass last year, barely took the field because of the injury, but he's a big time guy, and if you can put some guys around him, keep him on his feet. And get it, get him to where he can get the ball out to people. They're going to be good at he's kind of like a magnet. When you have somebody that good, you're gonna get receivers. You're gonna get back. So I think they're gonna be fun to watch.
Bishop's is definitely going to be fun to watch. Moving on, Classical Academy. They've had some pretty good seasons of late, kind of fairly newer school. 7-5 last year. They did not report their JV record or how many starters they have back. Returning or starting rating, according to CalPreps, is a -19.4. They won notable wins last year, La Jolla Country Day, Montgomery, and Maranatha Christian. They did lose to Orange Glen, Bishop's, Santa Fe Christian. Was talking with Jason Patterson moments ago, and he was bringing up the fact that he's got a nice little rivalry brewing with Classical Academy. So it's a team that's going to be able to compete in their league for sure. They open up at Mar Vista. That's a winnable game easily for Classical Academy. Then at Coronado, I think is another very winnable game. At O'Farrell Charter, a team that has not won a game yet in their existence, and only one season, and then they got Escondido Charter late in the year to round up their non-league schedule. I think Classical Academy will have a pretty good season. I think they go 6-4, kind of around the same record they had last year, and we'll see what they do potentially in the playoffs.
That's an interesting team. The rivalry with Orange Glen stems from Cale Patterson, the Orange Glen running back. Started his high school career at Classical and then transferred over to play for his dad. And Classical now has a new coach, John Goodman. The old coach is now at Escondido Charter. So I don't really know what they have. They're kind of, with a new coaching staff. Because I have all the respect in the world for John Goodman as a coach, and so I'm not, that's a kind of a little bit of a mystery team for me right now in Classical.
I get Classical Academy winning their first five games and then losing four straight, and then beating Escondido Charter at the end of the year. So it's kind of be a lot of ups and downs with the Caymans this year. But I think they can go 6-4. I have them currently finishing, unfortunately, last in their league. I mean. This is a pretty balanced league, like you're saying, and very competitive league. For a small school league, they can hang with a lot of big schools as well. So Classical Academy, I got 0-4, but I do have them going undefeated in non-league play. Tri-City Christian, the other team, a little bit of a flip-flop for leagues this year. They're now in this league, in the Coastal League, and La Jolla Country Day is now in the Pacific League as they switched it around a little bit. Tri-City Christian, 16 of their 22 guys are coming back, according to Cal Preps. I don't know if that was before or after some of the transfers they did lose. They did lose their quarterback, I'm right, now at El Camino. They come in 9-3 from last year. JV team went 1-4-1. Not really too promising, but again, we talked about this with Valley Center. Small school, you can't really weigh too much into the JV team per se. They come into the negative 18.1 rating. Returning starters, like I said, 16 out of 22. I don't care who you lose. If you come back with 16 guys out of your starting group and you went 9-3 last year, you should be poised for a pretty good season.
You do, and they have a new coach and a very experienced new coach. And I you know, obviously, like you said, 16 guys back, and unfortunately, losing the quarterback is Keon Reed was a really nice player and a young player.
He was a big factor for a lot of their wins last
year. Yes. So that's going to be very interesting to see how they replace him.
They open up with Calipatri on the road. They also have O'Farrell Charters, so there's got to be two wins out of the gate. They got a bye, and they play La Jolla Country Day, Saddleback Valley, Escondido Charter. They're at Classical Academy. I got them winning all those games. I got them ripping through that. Again, my picks, especially with the teams that are out of San Diego, highly had to do with what their Cal Preps rating was compared to what the San Diego team was. So that's why I have Tri-City Christian beating Saddleback Valley. Again, everything changes when injuries happen and the season starts going through. And then you got Santa Fe Christian. I don't think they win that game. I don't think they beat Bishops. I don't think they beat Orange Glen. I honestly think they go 1-3 in league, but I still think they go 7-3 for the season.
Yeah, I don't know if I see 7-3, but I maybe a 6-4-ish kind of thing. With, like you said, if they stay injury free, they've got a chance to do a little better.
A lot of guys coming back, but replacing a quarterback is always tough to do. Moving on to Orange Glen, just talked to Jason Patterson not too long ago on this podcast. He's excited for the season. They got a lot of guys coming back. They got a lot of young guys that were starting to play in some pretty important roles late in the season. They have a fun game. They get to start of week one. They're traveling out to Hawaii.
Yes.
All those years, Patterson was coaching with Gilster. They used to do those Hawaii trips.
Yeah.
Was a big factor of why he wanted to do the Hawaii trip. And kind of the challenge of, you know, based on their economics of, you know, the families they have there and the type of kids they have, he wanted to see it as a challenge that, look, we can do this. And if we can do this, what else can we do? And they did it with State last year when they had to travel for State. They raised money. He, he went out there and was raising money. He had all his kids out there. They really, you know, set it as a goal to, we're going to do this Hawaii trip. Let's go make it happen. And they made it happen.
Yes. And I think Jason Patterson is just an aces kind of guy. He's a bundle of energy. And the team takes, and I agree, I think any team takes its cue from the head coach, and he's a bundle of energy so that his team plays with energy. And, you know, they fundraised, and when they went up to San Francisco for their state playoff game, they fed the team breakfast before they left because they couldn't afford to stop.
Right.
So they fed them breakfast when they left, and the mothers of all the player mothers and dads all chipped in, made sandwiches and got them drinks so that they, you know, and they, I don't know where they stopped, somewhere probably at a park or somewhere, stopped halfway up and fed them. So they were able to afford the trip. And, you know, that shows you that the Orange Glen community is coming back, and it's coming back because of Jason Patterson.
Yeah, what a great turnaround for Jason Patterson over at Orange Glen. They opened up with Waimea. Valley Center went out there last year and kind of hammered Waimea. They're not one of the premier programs in Hawaii. Hawaii's got some good programs, but Waimea is not one of them in terms of, you know, competition with what we see here in San Diego. At Escondido, I think they win that game. That's going to be a tough one. We were talking about a little bit of a tease for the league preview we're going to do later on, the Valley League preview that we'll send out for you. But Escondido is going to be pretty good. This will be a tough game for them. They also got San Diego High, I think is a very fun matchup for them. Coach Patterson was talking with Charles James of San Diego High at a state football playoff meeting. And they, hey, why don't we just play each other? And so they ended up working it out. Kind of very similar teams in that sense. San Pasqual, Army, Navy, Bishops, Classical Academy, and of course, you know, the rest of their league there. I got them going 9-1. It's just solely on... It's kind of like I see them going 1-1 against San Diego High and Sam Pasquale. Is that fair to say, or do you think Escondido might be a factor in potentially knocking off Orange Glen?
I think Escondido's going to be a factor. I think that's going to – and that's a game that's coming back because Orange Glen was down for a long time, and they dropped that rivalry, and now it's back. And both schools are pretty fired up. I mean, that's a rivalry back when they started playing. That was, you know, they were drawing 10,000-12,000 people for that game.
Yeah.
You better be there, you know, before the JV game kicked off, or you didn't get a seat.
And it's at Escondido, which is a big stadium, you know, over there.
You know, the Escondido, I think it's the best stadium in the county.
They hosted the CIF championship my senior year. The one year they hosted the CIF championship, yes, when they moved out of Qualcomm. Orange Glen, I still think they can go 9. I think their ceiling's 9-1. How about that?
I think so. Yeah. If they stay healthy, and you know, you've got a 2,400-yard back coming back, and your quarterback's back, and their line,
their top offensive lineman's back, their top defender's back, their top receiver, all their top guys are back.
They go 255, 285, 245, 250, 285 across their front. And these guys are players. They're not just big old dudes.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to have a really good season. Who wins? I know we kind of talked. I don't want to tease it too much for the podcast we're going to release later with the Valley League preview. Who's winning the Escondido rivalry between all three teams? San Pasqual and Escondido, they play each other in league. Right.
Yes.
And then so they're all play. All three of them are all playing each other. So they'll
right.
all have.
Yeah.
It'll
yeah.
Be like
yeah. This
Army,
is the year
Navy,
that
it'll be the Army Navy Air Force.
Right.
Type
right
deal.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the year that everybody plays. I think Escondido wins it.
So high on Escondido. That's marked in stone right now. Yeah. John Maffey is super high on Escondido.
I hope I don't get a big big hat pin right in the rear end on this one. But
if Escondido starts off poorly, it's your fault.
It's my fault because I hyped them. Yeah.
They'd be like, "What are you doing? Get these guys off my back!" Now we got a target on our back that we didn't.
I'm
going
to see them week one. I have their game. Hilltop is at Escondido week one, and I really like Drew Wesley. I like what he does at Hilltop. And I want to see Escondido early.
So you got Escondido to go 2-0. Who do you got? San Pasqual going 1-1, and Orange Glen going 0-2, or vice versa.
I have Orange Glen going 1-1.
They beat San Pasqual.
I think this is another good year for Orange Glen, and I wouldn't be surprised if they beat Escondido. But I think the game's going to mean more for Orange Glen, and they might be as experienced as they are.
And it's early in the year, too.
Yeah.
They're coming off the Hawaii trip the week before. You never have to worry about flights when it comes to high school teams, but who knows? You're playing in Hawaii for a week. I'm assuming they're going to go out there for a week. I mean, they're going to go out there for a day. It's like a college trip.
Yeah.
They're going to be out there for the whole week. So we'll see if... hanging out at Waikiki and hanging out on the beach kind of plays into a factor for Orange Glen. But that's Orange Glen. We're both in agreement they're going to have a really good season.
Yes.
They're a really good football team, and it's fun to say that now. Orange Glen, back for so many years, Orange Glen was just kind of like a free win for everybody on their schedule.
Now
Orange Glen's playing teams that are free wins on their schedule. It's fun to see. Santa Fe Christian's the last team we're going to break down here in the Coastal League preview. Braden Sprint alongside John Maffey. This is a team 8-4 last year, pretty good. We got to replace some big guys. Drake on the line is going to be a tough guy to fill in for. But this team, negative 2.3 rating coming in. You hear the negative, but that's actually kind of the best. That is the best rating for any team in this league coming into the season, according to Cal Preps. They beat Monta Vista last year. They beat Olympian in La Jolla. Lost to Central Christian and Saints. Their schedule, they get to play at St. Margaret's team that we talked about with Vista playing. They play Christian to open the year, who's going to be tough. That's always a tough game for anybody. Francis Parker, La Jolla, Mount McGill. That's an intriguing game to me, the Mount McGill one. They play La Jolla Country Day, and then, of course, they get into league play. I have Santa Fe Christian going 7-3 this year. I think they're going to be pretty good. I know they got to replace some big guys, but that's another program that just kind of plugs and chugs and just keeps replacing guys with more talent down below.
Yeah, I agree. And I had a nice talk with John Wallace. Spent about an hour with him out on campus. And you know, the key with them is a quarterback. Kean Hogan is going to be the quarterback this year. A very good athlete, a good baseball player. has not played quarterback very. He threw 13 passes last year, but he was mostly a receiver, running back. If Keon can quarterback that team, they have a chance to be really good, because they've got Stephen Britton, their fullback, is a really top flight player. And they've got two really good offensive linemen, Sam Seymour and Eli Armendariz, are two really good offensive linemen. And again, they have a stud kicker. They Santa Fe Christian has earned a reputation of having great kickers, and they've got another one in Ian Austin. So I think they're poised for a pretty good year.
Santa Fe Christian, to me, I think they go 3-1 in league play. I think they go 7-3 overall. As we break down and kind of wrap this one up and put a bow on it, Coastal League, I got Orange Glen finishing in first at 4-0. You're in agreement with that one? Second place for me is Santa Fe Christian. I think they edge out Bishops. I think they go 3-1.
Yes.
Agreeing? Bishops at the three spot, 2-2.
Yes.
Still good. And then Tri-City Christian, I got going 1-3, finishing fourth. Classical Academy 0-4 in league play, finishing in fifth. But I think every one of these teams I have with a winning record, because they are better than the teams that are playing, all of them in non-league.
Yes, and again, when you get down to the to the Coastal League and the Pacific, the smaller leagues, injuries are so key, because if you lose one guy, you lose two guys because they're going both ways, and maybe three guys because he's playing special teams.
If you lose a guy at Torrey Pines, you can replace him. It's fine. You don't need a high. You lose a guy at a school like Bishops. Think about it. I mean, their quarterback last year, one of the better quarterbacks in San Diego, and there's series of teams like Notre Dame are looking at him.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a not that great of a comparison I'm giving you right now, but think about how much different that team went from being a team that you wouldn't want to play if you're any big school to a team like all of a sudden they're just way worse. Cathedral loses a guy on their offensive line, they're just going to plug it with another guy,
right,
and they keep the ship moving. You lose a guy at Tri-City Christian, all of a sudden, you just lost it. Now you got guys playing spots they shouldn't be playing. You don't have the much depth. Maybe you're grabbing a guy from JV who, if he was really that great, he probably wouldn't
be on varsity.
JV.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be on JV to begin with, especially with these schools with depth. Depth is a huge factor in high school football, as well as linemen. And when you don't have it, as soon as you get a guy down, your season's almost over.
Oh, yeah. And health at most schools is really important, but the bigger schools can absorb it a little bit, but the smaller. John Carroll at Oceanside used to tell me, he goes, we have 34 guys on the team, but we only have like 15 players,
right?
And so guys are going both ways, and the other guys suit up, and so we can practice.
Well, that's the thing. It's like you get teams like Helix and Cathedral that have 60 kids, and like 40 of them are players, and the other 20 are kind of the fill-in guys. But it's like, I can just keep plugging. I got depth. I can only have guys go one way. I don't have to have guys go two way. The teams that can successfully have only one way players wear teams out like that in high school, and that seems to be a huge factor. But I digress. That is the Coastal League preview for you. Like we said, Orange Glen, Santa Fe Christian, Bishops, Tri-City Classical. That's how we think it's going to finish. We also have another podcast out right now. It is the Pacific League. We talk with Coach Tyler Hales from La Jolla Country Day. We talk with Nehemiah Brunson of Army Navy, and of course, me and John Maffey will break down the rest of the Pacific League coming up in a matter of a couple days. We will slowly start releasing more podcasts. We're going to go two a day starting on the 14th of August, which is today, going all the way through to the 22nd of August, the first week of the season. Of course, we have our high school football show we're going to do every Thursday night from 9 to 11. Coach John Quintero, myself, John Maffey will be joining us the first week of the season, getting ready for scrimmages. We'll be breaking down scrimmages. We'll be getting ready for the season as well. And then, of course, starting next Friday, on the 23rd, we'll have our first game of the season on 97.3 The Fan on the Radio.com app. It'll be a stream-only game until the Padres are done. But Poway and Granite Hills will be our first game. It's going to be a fun season. We'll have all your coverage right here on 97.3 The Fan, at 97.3TheFanSD.com, at 97.3TheFan on Twitter and all social medias. For John Maffey, I'm Brayden Suprenant. Be sure to check out all the other podcasts, and we'll see you as the weeks progress. We can't wait for high school football right here on 97.3 The Fan.